What would you do if you got scammed? Would you suffer in silence, or would you do something about it? Well, I got scammed once, and this is the story of what I did. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, a true crime podcast from The Ringer. And for 7 episodes, we're hunting a con man, a guy with a lot of aliases, a guy who's ruined a lot of weddings. And with the help of some friends, I just might be able to catch him. Listen to The Wedding Scammer on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Moment of silence to start the show.
Oh, are we? We are talking about this.
That was for Ryan Tannehill, who will never see the football field in Tennessee again. You know, it goes hand in hand with that. Mike was right.
You know,
Will Levis.
I'm happy for you, bud.
He said it during the draft. He will be the best quarterback. I am going to overreact to one game, 4 touchdowns in the first career start. Kid looked great.
He looked really, really good. Did you actually buy any of his stuff before the game?
The world fell apart this last week.
Dang it. I'm so sorry.
Unfortunately, I was not able to. I did make a bunch of posts trying to buy, but people were already kind of like paying based on or selling based on his hyped up price that he would perform well. Well, now he has performed well. I mean, the kid looked amazing. So that was a cool. I've got to think he has a crazy big boost there.
Yeah, Purdy is dead. Long live Will Levis. That was the note from Sunday's games.
Your boy, I'm going to guess, is on the death pile right after that. Bajent.
So here's what's terrible. Funny about his... It wasn't great. It wasn't
well,
great.
Well, he looked terrible. I mean, not you. I'm saying he was terrible.
No, I appreciate that. I thought that's what you meant, but now we know.
You're terrible.
The pricing, what was weird, and this is probably... This has got to be a pumper. I went out and like checked card ladders, like sales history to see like, okay, we talked about his 2023 Panini Select draft, like the auto white card specifically. That card we had said was doing like 125. It had gone up to 155. And after the game, this card started selling for like 120, 91, like somewhere in the 90 to 120 range. If you see a card sold for 255 among all of those, you have to assume like that's someone just trying to pump sales or something, right?
Yeah.
Why else would, why would that go?
That makes me wonder if he even got paid for. Because like even his Prism, as of this morning, that Prism auto now, the red one down to $90. It was doing 150 to 200.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
I mean, it's...
But that's the thing. It's expected. Actually still higher than what I would have expected. But he's still going to play, I guess, until their starting quarterback comes back.
What's his name?
I know. Don't.
We will not be cutting for time here, folks.
That's okay. You don't have to because I've got it. It's
what though?
2021 Justin Fields.
There you go.
Wow. I could see his face. I couldn't think of his name. Yeah. So anyways, that was, you know, what was really sad. I didn't get to see the Titans game. I had to go back and watch highlights of it. The highlights were spectacular though. The only thing that I started to notice was a few people commented about like the, hey, do you invest in second string quarterbacks? That was a topic we had like a month ago or a few weeks ago. Now it's the topic starting to get to, do you invest in third string quarterbacks?
Lot of injuries.
There's a lot of them. And it's actually kind of a weird topic because there are some people that some of these third string quarterbacks you can go out and check right now are actually going up in value. It's
just people speculating.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, Kirk Cousins goes down yesterday too for the whole season. Yep. Tore his Achilles.
Yep, he out. What is his name? Todson, the Giants quarterback.
No, Todson. That's right. Yep, you got it.
What is it? Tell me.
You're close. Daniel Jones.
No, because he's already been out.
Oh, his backup. I have no idea.
It feels good, at least. I wasn't completely off base. The Giants quarterback is also known as... Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, Tyrod Taylor. Yeah,
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah,
Todson. Todson. So he... I guess he was out. They put in the third string, Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito's now in this. He was selling for like $3 for his... and granted...
Seems about $2 overpriced, to be honest.
He doesn't have any actual cards in like Panini or anything. So you got to go to the product Sage. So if you go out and get a Sage Red Auto, this thing was, it was going for $3. Now it's going for $6. I'm just.
Take the win.
It was just funny to go through some of these third string quarterbacks. Like Sam Ellinger, he's for the Colts. Mm-hmm. He is also one of these where. I looked at his 2021 contenders rookie. It was selling for like $3.50 to $6. Like the auto one was. Now it's up to, in some cases, like $26. Yeah.
Sam Ellinger. There you go.
Yeah.
They lost too, I think, this week.
The Colts. Yeah, I believe. Actually, let me see. I last week, I feel like I got a lot of these wrong by just guessing. So I've decided I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to actually look. Yeah, they lost 27-38 to the Saints. It was one of those weekends where it was enjoyable to watch Will Levis, but some of these other guys going through the card ladder, like going through pricing 2020, 2021, 2022 quarterbacks. There's one quarterback in the last month of those 3 years that is actually up, Trevor Lawrence, and it's only like one card I could find really. His Panini Prism is down. But if you look back over the last month, Trevor Lawrence's Don Russ is the only one up. Hmm. Other than that.
They won again, 6-2. I mean, not a pretty win, but they did win. 6-2.
If you look at like some other years, Lamar Jackson, Gardner Minshew, and Dak Prescott all up.
Your boy.
Dak Prescott. I didn't want to take that victory lap yet, but that is a continued to sell somewhat well.
What's it selling for?
The last three sales since we were on the show last sold for 169, 152, 145. So I'm just saying, yeah, other than those four quarterbacks, there's really not a whole lot to talk about other than Will Levis. Will Levis, I posted this in the Facebook group. The mosaics of Will Levis were doing, I think, like around 150 or so.
For what, numbered mosaic, or what are we?
No. This was non-numbered. Most of them were doing like 150. Then they were doing 300s after the game.
The kid looked good.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Hopkins had a resurgence in that game, too.
I know. He looked... Also...
I can't get my internet to work at all, by the way. It's starting to really tick me off.
Oh, go I've down to the off, corner.
I've signed on.
Disconnect from it and then reconnect to
already
it?
Already did.
That's weird.
Man, $200 a month for this freaking internet.
You hand me your computer. I'll fix it for you.
I'm not doing a thing. Go to the next topic before I break this freaking laptop.
Well, the only other person I wanted to mention was, because at this point, obviously, we can see there's nothing really to talk about with a lot of these quarterbacks as far as pricing for their cards go. The one that I do think is interesting is just A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is so
He's in a historic run. Like the most the most consecutive 125-yard receiving games in a row, I think.
Oh, is that true?
Wow. I think that's what he just did.
Well, I mean, it is impressive to watch him play. And it is one of those where it's like, okay, his values, I think, a week ago, were selling. He was going $23 for a PSA 10 of his Prism from 2019.
No one cares.
It's now it's amazing. $45.
It is amazing the lack of love receivers get.
It is kind of
even
crazy.
Tyreek Hill. I sold a 10-10 Tyreek Hill auto last night for $90.
Oh, did you really?
It was numbered to three. Granted, it was really vivid. Three. But like that card should be worth $200 easily. But he's best receiver in football right now. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Well,
wild.
The only thing that, of course, we could talk about, but I think we can probably move to the next topic, and maybe we just talk about it at another point, is with all these quarterbacks being down so much, that would indicate that if you think anyone's really going to have, like, if they've got an easy schedule coming up or anything like that, there's going to be opportunities to buy. Like, Joe Burrow did fairly well. I mean, like, his,
sure,
I think he had almost like a 90% completion rate with like 30 something throws.
The big game. Yep.
Yeah. He looked really good in that. Even though, like, I put a title of like, Purdy is dead, long live Levis, I don't think Purdy looked that terrible. Like, I mean, he did give up two interceptions. I get that.
That's a pretty bad game.
I going back and I, because I watched most of it live and then I had to miss it because we did a game show thing. I'll explain later. It was a lot of fun. But the whole thing, going back and watching some of the highlights, if you watch that reel, and I get it, highlight reels are supposed to make you look great. But man, he did, like, there were a lot of plays where he was like coming down. They were coming at him. He was running lateral across the field, throwing it completely opposite direction. Like, I think it was like two back-to-back plays. Granted, very shortly after that is when he did the interception throws. But one of those interception throws, too, was like the guy was right. His hand was right there, like in front of the ball. It didn't even make going back and watching the video, it doesn't even make sense how he caught it. But yeah, so it wasn't the best, but I don't think Purdy's dead. I think there's still a lot of hope for him. And his card values haven't fallen that drastically since that game. So
yeah, I mean, there's hope, but yeah, that's another one of those. He maybe made some good plays, but you scored 17 points at home and you had two interceptions. He was pretty, yes, it was a pretty bad game. He lost a fumble too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible yesterday. He was rough. That was the worst he's looked in any of these games, in my opinion.
Well, yes. And it was what, three in a row loss?
That's his third loss in a row. Yeah.
But overall, QBR is still looking good. Tehu
did look good.
I know. You love that. You love that stat.
That's why nobody brings that stat.
Well, his completion percentage, you could go just based on that. He's still in top 10 on that. So
I don't know why you're bringing I'm not sure what the
just try. I mean, he has, if you go through his stats, you can find a good number of them that would still rank him very high. That's all.
I guess. But yeah, but if you have a brain in your head for football at all, you would look the last 3 weeks like this guy has been terrible. They're not scoring points. They're turning the ball over a billion times. Okay. He's been I don't care what his stats say. I mean, it's brutal. He's looked terrible.
That's an opinion. I know what you're going to say. I don't know as much about football, and that's fair, but I have gone back and knowing I have this confidence because I've also heard other announcers and commentators make similar points that, yeah, he hasn't looked great, but at moments, there's still a lot of really good raw talent for someone who just started playing professional football.
Oh, that's fine. The raw talent for a guy who started 15 games, sure. But you got to keep in mind, this is like one of the highest selling football quarterbacks in the hobby right now. That's why it's like when you're saying like, hey, he has been terrible. There's really no, it's like, no, he's been terrible. Three turnovers at home. You score 17 points against the Bengals. That's a terrible game.
Wait, you say the Bengals, like they're like a garbage
team.
Their
defense is crap.
But I mean,
and you're at home against that team. You have three turnovers.
Well, who's out there? They had,
Debo Samuel.
Debo's was still out. Yeah. Sure. And then they had someone else out too. So, I mean, I get it. I'm just saying that to me personally did not crush my hope of Purdy. At this point, if anything, with his values being as far down as they are, that is what I'm going to be looking for later this week.
You're going to you're buying Purdy.
Yeah, I actually tried, and I'm really glad I didn't, but I did try to buy a Badgett as well. That I'm kind of glad that did not work out.
After your freaking staunch take last week.
The staunch take was just like to give a shot. Like, I mean, it wasn't like a strong.
I like to see this, you putting your money where your mouth is with cards, though. I actually think
I've been doing this on the side. I just haven't been, I've placed order bids and auctions. I just haven't been able to get all of them. I did in basketball, though. I did Cam Thomas.
By Cam Thomas.
Yeah,
sure.
I won one of those from the PWCC auction that we talked about last Thursday. One of those came in, so. I'm going to continue to do that. I think if I'm going to talk it up, granted, some of these I'm going to make more clear if this is just an idea, not necessarily something everyone wants to do. But sure. If it's something I really think.
No, I'm glad to see this. Like the Dak thing. Like if at the time, I wish you would have bought. I'm glad to see you talking like Purdy. Like if you're going to take this stance, I do. I'm like, you're taking them. By the way, I had my first win since PWCC came on as a sponsor. My 1993 Lawrence, Larry Joe Bird, 1993 Finest Refractor, PSA 8.
Oh, did you?
They averaged like $150. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put in a $90 bid and I'll get into extended bidding. I totally forgot about it. I got an email this morning I woke up to.
Oh, nice.
So with shipping, taxes, and all the bull crap, it was $105.
So here's still what like I've been doing.
30% off, though. Like, I was actually pumped. And that's a PC card. I love that set.
I haven't had any of those cards sent to me yet. I just keep like putting them in the vault. So that way it's like
I did notice shipping. Too, you don't pay shipping and you don't pay tax if you go to the vault.
Well, yeah, and that's why it's like I've just figured like I don't need these cards right now. I'm gonna just wait and just send them all at once. I figured
you're
like
planning
shipping
on
would be
selling
less.
That stuff anyways, right? Like flip.
Well, like the Cam Thomas, I think I would flip, but like there's you know some of
the family
the
project
Beetle,
stuff.
Yeah,
I
the
get.
Family project stuff. That's
but that
all
is,
coming home.
I will say this is not and actually I wasn't gonna talk about PWCC, but it does make sense. If you were planning to flip a card, I guess my question is this: like if I have to pay the sales tax on the Tennessee rate. For the bird. Like
oh,
I saw
sure.
that I paid 9.25. Fine. I understand. It's tax. Tennessee, it is what it is. If I put it in the vault, I don't pay anything. If they sell that to somebody else in Tennessee, let's say,
okay,
do I pay the tax on that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or like if they sell it to New Hampshire, there is no tax. So there would be no tax at all. If they sell it to a state that has tax, I actually want to.
Does it matter what state they're selling it from, though? Like in this
case. That's my question. In other words, if they're selling it from a state where there's no tax, like they are, because they're in. Oregon? They're out west. Where the heck's that vault? I forget. Doesn't matter. But there's no tax there. So if they sell that to a state with tax, does the buyer pay the tax or do I?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because if not, that's actually a way to totally avoid the tax on my end. If I buy a card there, just vault it.
Yeah.
If I'm flipping the bird I'm keeping, I'm just going to pay the tax anyways.
Sure, sure.
But I am curious how that works.
Okay. Yeah, I am. That's actually very
I was pumped
question.
To win that card, though. It's a cheap card, but like that's one of those two that will go in my PC box until I can find a 9 or a 10, which is super hard to find. But 1993 Finest Refractor, Larry Bird. Yeah, nice. I was actually very pumped about that. For $100, I was absolutely.
Nice. Patronize me. So we talked about on the last episode.
Let's go to the comparisons.
We said that we were going to, we keep talking about return on investment. That's a constant mailbag question.
Why is football wax so expensive compared to baseball? Yep.
So I didn't do this for every box of something. I just had to pull one just because there's a lot of numbers. And I'm going to give you some numbers. I will tell you, like, if you ask me something I don't already know, it may not be easy for me to pull that information. Okay.
I got card ladder up as well. I can try to help if need be. But
well, so here's what I did. I took Mosaic football. I took Mosaic 2022 football and I compared that to two different baseball products because that was the big question, right? Everyone, we keep talking about how baseball is cheaper in a lot of instances. And so it's like, well, are you getting the same kind of return on investment?
And there's no exact apples to apples. Mosaic baseball is not licensed, so it's not a comparison. Yeah. So like a comp in my head, I have not seen anything you're talking about yet.
This is Mosaic football.
Right. Compared to, like, I'm trying to think of a baseball product that to me is kind of a comp to that. I would think something like a Finest or a Topps Chrome.
Okay. I did not put Topps Chrome because I figured that would be closer to Prism or something.
That's fine.
I
think all these.
I actually did two different ones. I did Topps Series 1 and Topps Update. I did these two comparisons.
We're going to have to use Topps Chrome for that's like the dirt cheap paper product. It doesn't.
I did it based on like a jumbo box of these. Because I mean, those boxes, like a box of like Topps Update goes for like two, what is it? $250. That's around what they're going for right now. And 2020, and that was 2022 Topps Update. 2023 Topps Update Series 1 was $225. I also did those because they also came out relatively around the same time. So they have close to the same amount of sales time because the overall goal was to find what has sold from that product and over a hopefully close amount of time so that if I were to say put in, you know, for a box of Mosaic is going for like $480. If I was going to spend double the price for a box of Mosaic, do I have the chance of getting something big for it or at least to get my money back? So the overall goal in what I found was how many sales of each could you get something that was over what you bought the box for? So could you hit something that was over what the price of the box was? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Here's the problem. You're talking about how many singular cards are going to cover the cost of the box.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why update is a hard. You can't use an update. You're going to get.
You don't even know what the numbers are, though. But they're the actually point, pretty good.
But the odds of update are brutal. Unbelievably brutal, the odds of update. We rip update every year. It's a paper product. The odds of you hitting one card that's worth more than 250 are very low. But the update, the point is you're going to get 30 to 50 rookies to grade. Because you get you get mass amounts of paper, quantity of paper rookies.
Okay.
So there's almost no chance of losing a lot of money on an update box.
So that's that actually works out, because if we know that going in, then it's still going to be beneficial when you figure out what the numbers are for Mosaic. Because knowing that, you would think, oh, that would be really outstandingly good as far as a baseball return on investment than the Mosaic return on investment. Right? Because you're saying you can
the majority of upgrade boxes, your way out. If you grade depending on what you hit, I think you'll get very close to your money back every time.
So this is what I had found. For 2022, Topps update that came out October of 2022. All right.
Okay.
So in order of coming out, it was Topps update, then Mosaic Football in January, and then Topps Series 1 in February.
Okay.
Okay. So
Topps. I'm trying to think who the heck was in Series 1 this year. Was Adley in that? Adley and Gunner? Corbin Carroll?
Series 1. Where's
Josh Young?
Oh, darn it. I don't have it up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go. Go do what you
do. So let me do the numbers. You pull up who was in it. So in Topps Series, Topps update, I said I was going to start there, October 2022. The box was going for about $250. Again, this is a jumbo box, right? So you have a little bit better chance to hit some parallels, some other things. You're going to have around 1,360 individual sales that were over $280. I did 280 just to give a little wiggle room as far as pricing goes, if it sold a little more or whatever the case may be. 1,360 sales. That's actually pretty darn good. It's almost the highest, but 1,360 sales is going to come out in this case to be 169 of them being $1,000 plus.
Okay.
So $1,000 for 169 of those. The Topps Series 1, so we did Topps Update 2022, now 2023 Topps Series 1, that jumbo box sells for $225. That one has 1,440 sales of $250 or more. All right. So 1,440, $250 sales, but only 107 cards that were over $1,000, which makes sense because Series 1 is a lesser product, right? Because the other one had 169.
It's the same product. It's all just about the checklist.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. When I say lesser, I just mean there's just not as many bigger or better hits in that product. So Mosaic Football, if you were to buy that, you're only going to find 820. So about, 500 to 600 less sales than those other two we talked about. 820 sales that were $500 plus. So 800 sales that we're going to pay for that box.
Okay.
With 196, that's the largest, being $1,000 and more per card. Okay. So essentially, your return on investment, you're going to get about 40% less of a chance to pay for it based on sales.
Even bigger, though, because you're talking ROI, you're talking two update boxes for every one Mosaic box.
Well, that's why I'm basing it just based on if you're just trying to pay for the box itself, not the same amount. So, if you're just trying to pay for the box itself, you can do that, like we said, 1,400 times with Series 1, 1,300 times with Topps Update, only 820 times with Mosaic.
Okay.
That's what it comes out to. But you do have a higher chance of hitting a $1,000 plus card in Mosaic than you do in
any
of those.
Okay, so that's where the number of the box skews it, though. So even if you hit a $1,000 card, you've made a $500 profit. If you hit a $1,000 card out of Update, you've made $750 profit.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the other major issue here is with Update, or with Series 1 specifically, Gunnar Henderson, Adley, Corbin, UPSA 10, those cards are going $40 a piece. You're making $25 profit on a handful of those cards without hitting anything big. Yes. That's also a major, because you get bulk amount of base.
But here's the other thing that
I really want to know Topps Chrome. That's the one I'm curious about to compare to all three of these.
I could do it. I could pull it up.
Yeah, because that would be the most closely resembling.
But here's what you find starting to pull this information, because I spent like at least an hour just trying to find this information and then trying to gather it so I can actually pull data from it. It is so difficult. Like that, I think that's one of the reasons why this hobby like does well and other times it doesn't do quite as well. And no one really knows the exact reason why, because you can't quantify a lot of things.
Sure. So, like, let me ask you this right now to the layman, to just the person listening. If you were to ask 10 collectors who break occasionally, rip their own personals occasionally, are in the hobby almost exclusively, you know, in a bunch of different facets, mm-hmm. why is football wax higher? Oh, because there's bigger return.
Yeah.
That is the answer. Mm-hmm. Oh, the single sell for more. And that's a myth. By and large, that is just not the case. And the ones that do, you're paying more. Your entry level is way higher and your odds are longer.
Yeah.
They just okay. like that is still to me across the board. And the other thing is your ability to grade your way out, so to speak, like you can with 2023 baseball. It's not close.
So that's the one thing that I obviously didn't have, right? Sure. Like of all the smaller stuff, like what is,
but you'll get some of that in Mosaic. You'll get one or two of those guys in Mosaic as well. You can grade your way out.
Sure.
Baseball, you get 6 to 10 of those guys. That's the difference. It's why I mean, like the perception is just, oh, it's a bigger chase. The number one reason football and basketball wax is more expensive than baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, far and away, the gambler mentality. People want to chase. That is it. Like there, you could in your yep. your as a matter of fact, your info kind of shows some of that. Your sales data.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I'm not saying go out and buy update, because to me, I want a little bit of both. I want to be able to chase something big. Update's boring to me. I don't care about update. Yeah, I can make. Sure. I'm never going to lose my shirt, and I might make money more often than not. Topps Chrome's a good example, though. I can still go and chase a red Adley. It's going to do thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I have as good a chance of hitting that as I do of hitting a gold Kenny Pickett out of 2022. But it is wild. To your point, a lot of people don't sit down and do the research or look or think about checklists or autograph stuff. And especially with 2023 football, the odds of 2023 football are going to be way worse than ever before because a lot of the guys didn't sign.
So yeah,
that takes away huge high-level ceiling-type cards. You no longer even have the ability to chase because they're not in the product. Like that's crazy to me that 2023 sells like that.
The only thing to throw some of this off, well, sure. granted, all, no, again, all these I'm numbers curious. Are like as close as I could get without like
yep.
spending days no, doing this. No,
I understand.
This.
You spent comprehensive research.
Well, I say more for the audience because I know I'm going to hear from those people. Well, you didn't look at this or that. And, you know, I get that it's not perfect. But the one thing that I did consider, though, is to what you mentioned, I think, when I first started talking about this, is the amount of product that is made or like that's put out there. Because wouldn't, in your mind, isn't there more Topps, like say update or series one, more of that product?
Let's go Topps Chrome again. So we kind of okay. go Apple. Is there more Topps Chrome than Mosaic?
I mean,
maybe
there's gotta be, right? Like they're selling it at Costco now.
Well, but look at the retail Mosaic SKUs. Look at the retail Prism SKUs that are out there for football. They're all over the place.
But I mean, like,
is there more printed?
They're at Walmart, they're Target. Yeah, I feel like all the places that maybe. You would normally find probably a football, basketball, you'd probably also find a baseball pack too.
Sure.
However, I keep seeing like the, to that point, Costco, and there's now like a few other things online of these other baseball sales or other baseball products. Like there's a holiday box now, a mega holiday box.
I sure, just the feel paper like there's stuff,
getting
no
to
question.
Be more and more of that product out there to where if that is the case, let's just say it is, if there's a lot more baseball than there is football overall, just printed, then yeah, maybe there's more sales, but there's that sales was from a million people buying it versus maybe only 500,000 people buying football product. Does
but
that make it,
but isn't even that a good thing? If a million people are buying because there's that many buyers out there because there's more product, because the baseball market is much more...
Well, not necessarily, because you think these weren't percentages of those people. That was just like a strict number. So if it, so let's say 1.3 million people bought Topps Chrome, right? So, mm-hmm. Or Topps Update, because that's the one I actually have numbers for. That would mean 1,360 people were able to pay for their box by a hit, right? So that's, what is that percentage? 1,300 to 1.3 million.
I see
is
what
like,
you're saying. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's a much smaller percentage than if, you know, there's only 500,000 boxes of Mosaic sold and 820 of those were able to pay for the box. So that's where I think the percentage kind of comes into play, and how much was of that product was actually made becomes a factor as to Is it worth it?
I think it's close, though. Topps Chrome Baseball compared to Prism, compared to Mosaic, compared to Optic.
It may be.
I would say maybe 25% more, but I don't think it's way more than that.
If anyone knows, I would love to find that population.
They keep all that stuff so tight, it's
ridiculous. It is, yeah.
But maybe 25% more.
Yeah.
But I still think the more you dig into the numbers, the more you'll see that football is way more of a chase. Basketball, way more of a chase.
But I think that at the end of the day, it's still, if people are buying it, then...
Oh, yeah, it's not going to change. But that's also to us, like, that's why, like, we've never really gotten to breaking big with football and basketball. Mm-hmm. I think you burn people out doing that because I think the return is so much worse.
Maybe.
It's brutal.
So anyways, that was just a little bit of the numbers. I thought it was interesting at least.
Do you have Topps Chrome numbers compared to Prism?
I can see if I can't pull something real quick.
Let's do it next time then. Cause I that's the one I really want to dig into actually is Topps Chrome versus Prism.
Okay.
Yep. Right, let's go to the Ken Golden interview and then we can move on with the rest of the show.
Okay, cool.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
That brings us to the time in our show where we have our guest, and we are honored to have Mr. Ken Golden. Ken, I think many know as the Golden Touch Man. Is that what you're known as? King of Collectible, Golden Touch?
King of Collectibles. That's what they call me. I think Business Week came out in, was it 2021? And they had me on Business Week. There's a cover story and they called me the King of Cards. So I guess, the working title for the show with Netflix has always been the Golden Touch. And I guess Netflix likes to give you like, take 2 seconds and you will know by the title to some degree what the show is about. Yeah. So Golden Touch, what is that? Like, is that going to be about a massage parlor? Who knows? Yeah. So they said, okay, let's call it King of Collectibles, the Golden Touch. And that's how I became the King of Collectibles.
Here's the important question, Ken. As a self-respecting, which is questionable in and of itself, Philadelphia 76ers fan, scale of 1 to 10, how big of a piece of crap is James Harden?
I will temper my comments because he was there last night and he was on the court. So he definitely looks good compared to Ben Simmons. Okay. Ben Simmons is the all-time as far as 76ers fans are concerned.
He had mental problems.
That said, look, if Harden comes back and he plays for the 76ers and he does well and he gives it his all, I will actually put him above like a Kyrie Irving type of thing, you know?
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. So, let's see. One thing we all care about in Philly more than anything else is winning and doing well.
Sure.
So if Harden comes back, if he performs and the Sixers do well, all will be forgiven. He just missed 3 games. But yeah, look, I personally am not a fan of the whole NBA, I demand a trade and the team trades them. I just think that's all, that's a crock. It's not the way I grew up. You know, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the guys I grew up on. You know, Dr. J, Moses Malone, even the Allen Iverson era, Julius, or Michael Jordan era, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't
different world.
You know, that wasn't their era. That's not what, you know, I was brought up on. I just don't think it's right. I do not know how the owners ever put themselves into the situation they have today with players in the NBA. And I know Silver's trying to walk it back.
Yeah, too late.
You know, it's out of the barn already, right?
Let me all just right. summarize what he said, and you can get to this whole interview you want to do.
Sure.
Just to be clear,
yeah.
He just said he's slightly better than Kyrie Irving, who's a flat earth clown who has jumped around teams because he has no spine. So that just tells Ken was very politically neutral about what he said, but that's okay.
The answer he gave is actually kind of tied into some of the things I wanted to ask about because
perfect.
I feel like that question was asked and it almost like maybe made hair stick up on the back of your neck because you know there's a strong possibility you may run into Harden or any of these people in the near future. I keep seeing
a tempered response.
I keep seeing Ken is like just posted something with like Kylo Ren, Adam Driver. He was with Morpheus.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
Matrix, man. Exactly.
He's hobnobbing with all of these elites. And I'm just like,
I knew that was a weak response.
I was wondering, he's just like actually concerned. He's going to run into this
guy. I'm going to call Ken what I call you offline at times. Red light Ken right there. When the record button is on, Ken gave a very Jesse answer there. And that's okay.
It's diplomatic, and that's okay.
I will say that I have, if you look through my Instagram, you will see I've met Harden on multiple occasions, and I'm sure he can reach my cell if he wanted to.
Okay, there you go. See, exactly. That goes to show. Well, all right, so before we go too much further, then you got to tell us, what are your thoughts on the Eagles? Are you also an Eagles fan?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Eagles fan. I think they're playing weak right now. Okay. The last three games I've not been happy with.
Yeah.
You know, was not happy with the Jets game, obviously, and, you know, this past week, they had to come from behind to beat Washington. I mean,
I know.
Washington.
And they
They look, they are a great team. They are without a doubt one of the four best teams in the NFL. You know, so that's not a question, but you know, we don't want them to be one of the four best teams in the NFL. If they get to the NFC Championship and lose, that will be considered a failure of a season.
Yeah.
If they get to the Super Bowl and lose, that will be considered a disappointing season. So, you know, I'm concerned that I believe in a few weeks they have, you know, we've got San Francisco on the schedule, and obviously they're looking like garbage now, but that's fine. We've got Dallas twice on the schedule. I think we have Kansas City on the schedule. You know, so and I know we've got Buffalo at home. So it's a brutal second half of the season. So they really need, you know, they're 7-1. They should have been 8-0 going into this run. And you know, if they lose three of those games, they're still 13-3. But look, I think the Eagles. I don't care that the Cowboys have bad games. I think it's the Eagles and Cowboys in the NFC. You know, it's going to be one of those two teams going to the Super Bowl.
So obviously, the way you talk about this, you obviously still have a passion for these teams and these sports. You run Golden Auctions, which is known not just for cards, obviously, but all kinds of memorabilia. But do you still, like, have you found yourself thinking, oh, I would love that card or, like, this player, even if it's not, like, a super high-end, super valuable? Do you ever find yourself still wanting a card of somebody like that?
Sure. I mean, My first instinct would be, you know, like I look for my cards. My card collection is overwhelmingly baseball. So it's like 95% baseball. My non-card sports collection is only probably 70% baseball. So you may say it's only 30%, but you got to realize I got a massive frigging collection. So I have a lot of stuff. So I will support my teams. Like, I was told that you guys want to see some personal collection today.
We'd love to know a little bit.
One of the things I collect is, you know, from a card wise, you know, I collect PSA registry sets.
Okay.
I do own, for example, I have not registered anything. So all my sets are not on the registry. I, you know, one of these days I'll give it to my assistant. I certainly will never take the time to do it myself. But I own one complete T206 minus the Wagner. And then I own a second T206 near complete set minus the Wagner and a few others.
Wow.
To give an example, I own a bunch of sets from the 50s, a bunch of sets from the 60s, a bunch of sets from the 70s. And I collect, Philly. So like, these are my two favorite guys growing up. One day, if I can, you know, one day if, I can make some money, yeah, you know, maybe I'll upgrade to a 10, but you've got the Schmidt rookie and you've got the, Carlton rookie.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Right there. Now, Paul, you know, obviously modern cards and, you know, Paul, for those who do not know, Paul's my 10-year-old son, huge Phillies fan, huge baseball player. So let me see what we have. So we've got the red Harper refractor, 1/5.
Okay.
Dang, first auto.
I've got red Bohm refractor.
I did want to ask you too. So I saw a post you guys put up recently about like it, it started out saying like one of the hottest categories in collectibles. But mm-hmm. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm sure this is something I'm familiar with. But I hadn't really heard anything about this. It was type one photographs. The definition I found for it was for a type one is first generation photograph developed from the original negative within 2 years of the photo being taken.
Correct.
At this point in time, like you said, it's one of the hottest categories. Is this something that you've seen a lot of movement through your site as far as the category of type one photos?
Sure. So type one photographs actually really got very interesting about 7 years ago, you know, and honestly, I didn't understand it. I will say, and I'm foolish because to this day, I do not own a type one photograph and I wish I owned a bunch of them. You know, it's one of the ones I missed out on. You know, just, I was always more of a card guy than a photo guy, but you know, I saw some of these photos, especially like really old vintage classic photos of like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth selling for big money. And then the other thing that, you know, caught on and took off was the trading card photos. Like the photograph used for the 52 Mantle went for huge money. Like a photograph used for a Willie Mays, you know, 51 Bowman Mays, and like the one of the art cards, R309, I think it is. You know, one of the early late 20s, early 30s cards. Not Gowdy. It's more of a stand-up display card of Babe Ruth went for big money. And the Ty Cobb sliding into third photo went for big money. And then it kind of cooled down. You didn't see much of it. And every time, occasionally you'd see one of these things come up and it went for big money. And I'm wondering, who the hell's paying $100,000 for that? But what's really caught on and what's really taken fire is modern player type one photographs, like a vintage black and white photograph of Wayne Gretzky, a vintage 1984, 1980, you know, 84, 82 era photograph of Michael Jordan, you know, and especially the autograph ones, because how few of them are there? So you had to find the original photographer. He had to develop an original photograph. And within the first 2 years, so it's just not really a ton of this stuff. And some of these photographs are now, these modern guys are going for over 100,000. So I saw this taking off. And what I did was I said, okay, this is going to be big. I actually do not want to call myself an expert in type one photographs. So I want to get an expert. You know, if I think a market, a collectible market's going to be hot, and I do not personally know enough about it, and I don't have anybody on my staff who does, I want to find somebody who does. So I did a lot of research, and there are two guys that really know, you know, everything. One is Henry Yee, who works for PSA Authenticating, and the other guy is this guy named Kyber Ozer, who wrote the book with him. So like, there's literally a type one guide, you know, a guide to type one photographs, and it was written by Yee and Ozer. So I hired Ozer. Very simple solution, right? You can't get Yee, you get Ozer. So I've got Kyber, and he is bringing in all of this amazing stuff. I mean, like, he sent me today these pictures, and I'm like, who the hell kept these pictures from whenever, you know, whether it's 1960s or it's like Emmett's type one photo from Emmett Smith's first game we've got coming up. And like the one we had of Gretzky. And I'm like, this is really, this was the most bizarre photograph I saw. Venus and Serena Williams, probably 10 or 12 years old, playing chess. Now, I don't know about you, but my parents, you know, did not take photographs of me off the original negative, blow them up, keep them in perfect condition, and save them. Now, but think about this. How many of these photos are there? I mean, you've got Venus and Serena Williams, you know, before they were, anybody knew who they were, not even on the tennis court, playing chess. Yeah, is there more than one of that photograph? Why would anybody even have that in a type one? That is what makes these things so rare.
Okay, very cool. So that is something I was curious about, because I know I've been wanting to talk more about it. It sounds like it's going to be a very, I'm wondering how big of that subsection of the hobby we can get if there's only really two experts out there to begin with. But it does sound like
every auction house is going to say they've got an expert, right? I mean, Heritage sells type, you know, Heritage is one of the other big ones. They sell type one photographs, and they're going to say, well, our experts know it. But, you know, so it's not that these are the only ones who know it. These are the foremost people. But hey, you know, this is the guy, right, literally, who wrote the book. I mean, that's sure. The great thing. And all these people are coming to us now, and they say, we're so glad that you're into this. Nobody has given this the marketing time. Nobody's created the video. And these guys are getting so excited. I did a couple videos on type one photographs, and this is like the first time anybody's ever done anything like that for this whole category. So I think this has a long runway, and I also think that it has the one thing going for it that all these other categories don't have, that trading cards don't have, that remember the craze for tickets? Remember, like, the tickets, like, all of a sudden, you know, tickets are the first time Ken Griffey Jr. went to the bathroom, sells for $7,000, right? Okay.
He had to pay to use the bathroom.
The problem with tickets, you know, were they did issue 50,000 of them, right? You can get, it's a stadium.
Yeah,
it's a stadium. It's, you know, so I like tickets, but it's a long population. And in theory, in some of the more modern stuff, the market could be flooded. There's not a lot of risk here with the right photographs, because up until 2010, who the hell thought of these things?
Sure.
Yeah. Who saved them? Who even had the access to get copies?
So I got to also ask you, along with your hobnobbing with celebrities and collecting sure. pictures of Venus and Serena Williams playing chess, when you've run into some of these upper echelon people, whether sports or actors, have you found any card collectors, like any of them that are also like, oh yeah, I bought some stuff off your site, or, you know, I collect this or that? Like, I'm just curious who out there is collecting.
Okay. So, a lot of people you wouldn't think of. First of all, I will mention the biggest name in sports today. Okay. The single biggest name in sports today. And you guys can agree or disagree with me, but because of all the fame he's gotten outside of sports, has to be Travis Kelce, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Trav, you know, because of Taylor Swift.
T-Swift. Oh,
so
yeah.
I met Travis at the debut of Peyton Manning's Quarterback for Netflix. So came over, knew instantly who I was, brought his whole entourage over, brought his mom to meet me. So this is Ken Gold. This is the card guy. This is the guy you watch the show on Netflix. They've watched the show. They love the show. He's a big collector. He collects cards. He busts boxes. So, you know, that's an example. Tyrese Halliburton. I would have no idea. I'm sitting on, you know, I have a suite at the 76ers, but they gave me floor seats for a few games. So I'm sitting on the floor with Paul, you know, looking the other way, and he goes, "Dad." And all of a sudden, Tyrese Halliburton, before the game, is walking over to me. And he goes, "Mr. Golden, I just want to say hello. I'm a big fan."
Oh,
and I'm
cool.
Like, this guy is like, watches on Instagram. And that's how I met, you know, that's how I met a lot of these guys. That's how I met, you know, Seth Curry. He just popped on one of my Instagram lives when I was busting cards with Paul. And he just wanted to say hi, like, literally 2 years ago, we just jumped on an Instagram Live.
Wow.
But a lot of these guys are closet collectors. And if you want to know, now, obviously, I've got more followers than I used to. It might be tougher. But if you look through my followers, you will see a lot of athletes. The only reason an athlete typically follows me, unless they're a personal friend like Barry Bonds, is because they are into this stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And they are collectors themselves. So a lot of these guys, I think MLB and NBA are definitely the most. There's easily over 200 players in the MLB that are collectors of some sort, and easily over 50 to 75 in the NBA that are collectors of to some degree.
Oh, wow.
To some degree. And I'm putting LeBron James in there as a collector to some degree because he collects some of his own cards. They're not all like huge collectors with multi-million dollar collections like Kevin Durant, who's like, you know, serious into this.
Wow. Okay. That is actually really interesting. I wasn't sure exactly what you were going to have for that because I didn't expect to, like, there to be actually athletes just coming up to you saying, hey, I know you, not necessarily from like an event, but just from the collecting world. I think that's really cool. All right. We said this wasn't going to be a long interview. I did want to just ask, so next season of the show.
Listen, I don't know what your time's saying. Go ahead, hit whatever you want. Hit Netflix, hit my collection. I don't care.
Well, we do.
I do nothing all day except wait for opportunities to talk like this. So we're good.
Well, this is that opportunity. So now tell us, when is season two, King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch? When does that come out? Are you guys still filming? Are we going to be in
it? Sure. So let me tell you what I can tell you. Season two was renewed. We have been filming for a couple months. I have one trip I need to take. You know, we stopped filming. I have one trip I need to arrange and take to visit a few friends. And once we do that, that will be the last thing we film. And I would expect, now remember, they've got to dub it and subtitle it into 42 languages. So I would expect, so they need 60 or 90 days, but my expectation would be that you would start seeing season two of King of Collectibles around either spring training time or the start on the first month of the baseball season. Is that, that would be my guess. So, you know, most likely March or April. I'll try and get only in a teeny bit of trouble. I will say that, you know, there are going to be more episodes than there were in season one.
Oh, cool.
Probably a little bit longer. Probably each episode probably be a little bit longer.
Nice.
And for the sports fan, in season one, they were pretty careful. You know, like, first of all, there were no – and I know this is not for sports, but comic books were supposed to be part of season one, and – for whatever reason, all three scenes were cut. Didn't make the cutting room floor. Actually, they hit the cutting room floor. There will be comics in season two, and there will be more of an emphasis on sports in general, meaning both cards as well as other collectibles that are not necessarily trading cards. Realized the thought was originally in season one. Hey, we do not know what the public is going to like, so let's take a shotgun approach, which is why they spent 7 minutes on a Beanie Baby scene in season one. And gee, guess who was not in that scene? It was not unintentional.
Yeah.
Me.
Well, but that's cool, though, to know that there's going to be a little bit more of a focus in this upcoming season.
Yeah, they realize that there are sports fans all over the world. There's still great things from all other areas, historical, rock and roll, you know, movies, art and entertainment, things like that. But, you know, we're known for sports, and this is like a little bit more of a coming home for Golden.
Very cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Ken, thank you again, man. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about the show, talking about your collection. I think this is more of like the Golden Nugget, Ken Golden Nugget, because we get to learn, you know, a little bit behind the Golden Touch man himself, what you actually like, what you collect, all that kind of thing. So thank you for coming on and talking it up.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ken.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, see Bye-bye. Ya.
All right. There he was, Kenny G, the original Kenny G. Actually, who's older? Who's Kenny? Is Kenny G or Ken Golden older? One of those is the original.
Sure.
Saxophone man himself, Ken Golden, joined us. We appreciate it. now, I think we've already talked a little bit about cards. You want to do new releases or do you want to talk about?
Yeah, just the one, 2023 okay. Bowman Sterling. You got pricing on this one? It's a weird product.
Yes.
We went very light on this. It's too expensive to me.
Oh, you did? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think we got like 2-3 cases.
So this one's $375.
Oof. Is it 5 mini boxes still inside the box?
This is 5 packs.
Yeah.
And 6 cards per pack. So yeah, 5 one autos.
One auto per pack. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a 25 base or parallel.
I like it. Again, to put that in perspective, though, so a case of that is what? $380, what, $4,500? $4,200, so 12-box case? I'd rather break Gilded.
Yeah, $4,500.
That's just it. I like the product, but the resale on Sterling is also not great. Guys, it's never been really? A great reselling product either.
So yeah, so Gilded sells better, in your opinion.
Oh, yeah, but you're also getting way more cards here.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd rather break 2 cases of Finest. For the same amount of money. I'd rather break 2 cases of Topps Chrome Hobby for the same money. Bowman's Best. It's not a bad product, but this should be $280 a box, not $375.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't touch it in a million years. Like, literally cannot stress enough. It's like an F minus as a personal. Oh, I do. Really? I think it's that bad. As a break, maybe a C plus, maybe, because you know, you still get your teams cheap. Some of the low refractors will do well. It's still an unbelievably good rookie class. I get all those things. But man, I'm just not. Yeah, Sterling's it's a swing and a miss to me almost every year. It's just too much money for what it is.
Huh.
Fine. There's so many other products that are just so much better value.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why am I paying for this? Because it's the autos don't sell for what they sell in other products.
Okay.
So fair enough. Yeah, unfortunately, not a great one. We'll have a couple cases. I think that's the only way to do it though. We'll just full case PYT it. But this week we're only breaking on SCN Breaks, the Facebook page. So Eddie will have these up. Matter of fact, if you're interested, we have a 5 case. We did a different style break from last week's product. Tier 1 baseball. We're doing 5 cases together as a pick your player break.
Oh, pick your player.
So we literally broke it down.
How many
by
players is that?
So a lot of them we bulked, like bunched together.
Oh, okay.
But it's like 200. I think it's like 200 names on the list total. Something like really? That. And he cut it down quite a bit.
What's the most expensive?
Ooh, like $300 or $350. He keeps it down because the other thing he does is like all other AL East players, and it'll be like a whole list of the other players from that division. He'll like have to mini that down kind of. But,
oh, okay.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a cool way to do it. Like Frank Thomas is a guy I looked at. Frank Thomas is like $130.
Oh, okay.
In 5 cases, I was like, I'll take him. Like, I'm good with that. So
if anybody is interested, there it's a very light sport release week, but there is a Pokemon release, Paradox Rift.
Oh, yeah, PR.
You've been excited. You've been talking about it this whole time.
I have absolutely been talking. I bought a lot of it.
Yep. He's lying for anyone who's
took
needing to know.
Took a second mortgage.
It's coming out 109. If this is anything like the other ones, it's hard to say, like, go out and buy it right now because I feel like everything else from Scarlet and Violet has dipped. Not crazy dip, but it's dipped within the first, like, month or so afterwards. So you might just wait and get yourself some then. However, I'll probably still buy some just because my kid loves it. I do. I am a sucker for it. Well, it's fun watching my daughter rip it to it. She loves doing it. We're going to send some off to get graded. We're going to, she's not even playing it.
You're going to do that grading comparison too. I am actually interested in that. The actual cost of grading with shipping and all that.
Yeah. I just want to see like what it costs. Cause I mean, we work with SGC and I personally really like the tuxedo look with the Pokemon cards. And my daughter likes them because we already have a lot of them graded through there. But it's like, you know what? I am curious, what is it going to actually cost both time and money if I were to get this graded somewhere else? Because I realize being a sponsor with SGC, I know what their pricing is very well. I don't know personally what it is for some other ones other than I know it's higher. So, yeah, we'll find out. I'll let you guys know. But I can tell you right off the bat, it's more. More in both categories.
Yep.
But, all right. Mailbag time? I was going to mention the Taco Fractor thing before we do that real quick. So if anyone was curious, Taco Fractor card was found. Someone's getting a lifetime supply of Taco Bell, and I could not be more jealous. Card sold originally. It was a Kettle. Is it Marte?
Yep.
So Kettle Marte sold August 18th. This card originally sold for $297. Sold again 2 days before the stolen base for $1,000. So $1,000 for 15 grand, okay. not a bad deal there. But now these cards, I double checked. So if you guys still want a Taco Fractor card, most players seem to right now be going for about $150 to $250, which is actually still pretty high, but they are out of 5. So I guess it is like a rare thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe one day they'll have a week-long supply of Taco Bell. So that's what, like $1,000 or something? $500?
For you? Sure. $10,000? Who knows?
Really working.
Oh, here's a little sponsor plug. I'm sending some big cards to PC Sports Cards this week to consign.
What cards are they?
There's a Savage booklet. It's a deck of book out of Triple Threads. So it's 10 players, 10 autos.
Oh, that's cool.
And patches. And it's like a custom holder, too. Hoping that goes for a little over $1,000. There's a Topps Chrome rookie of Vlad Guerrero Jr., SGC 10. Same thing, hopefully in the $1,000 range-ish. And there's the 101 Jason Dominguez Immaculate Majestic Tag Patch Auto.
Ooh la la.
That was an SGC 810, I believe. So hopefully 700 to 900. I'm going to send those over to those guys. Actually, I got to send it today. I had it ready to go last week, and I sold a card just outright before I did, so I had to stop the package and rip it open. Oh, right. So
I actually reached out to them to see if they would I didn't know if they consigned other things besides cards, to see if they'd consign the Pokemon skateboard decks that I've got.
Sure.
They said they would. I just have not pulled the trigger if I want to go ahead and sell them now or if I want to hold them for longer. There's also a real stupid part of me that wants to rip it open and see if I got one of the golden ones, just diminishing any return I would have gotten on it. But
because
I mean, those golden decks, like some of them go for like between like $7,000 and $10,000. Listen, I bought two decks for like $275. Each deck currently goes for like $450 to $500. So I, one deck sold, excuse me. When Dex hold, I'm definitely
caught
making
up on
my
those
money
lies,
back.
Are you?
It's not a lie. It's all facts. So yeah, it's a hard.
Are they autographed?
No. No, that's just they're Santa Cruz, the company that makes the skateboard, they did a very smart thing. They just wrapped these decks. They printed a limited number of them. They wrapped them and then they put them in a bag, a sealed bag. So even if you were to get inside the bag, you'd have to unwrap it to actually see what is on your deck.
Okay.
And so a lot of, yeah, there's a limited number, but then there's even a more limited number of the golden deck that those are the ones that are really
mailbag.
Going.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Mailbag. Let's see. So here's the thing. We're not talking about a thing that I mentioned we were going to talk about in the mailbag.
No, it's not your fault. That's my fault. We're opening the show with a Thursday though.
All right. We're going to talk about another
thing. You know, we said goodbye this weekend. Here we go.
Not to podcast. No. By the way, we got your post that said goodbye that did not include a picture
a
or anything.
Though.
I know,
you
but they don't know
it.
That.
So look before you comment, dummies. Oh, my goodness.
But here SCN is fine, just so anybody knows. Kyle Reed. This is an interesting question. Kyle Reed wants to know, when was the last time you purchased a repack?
Oh, I mean, aside from Eddie, which doesn't count as my business partner.
Yeah.
Never.
That's the thing. I've only bought repacks from you. So I haven't bought a repack
from
someone else.
I almost never buy them. They're crap. Oh, you know what? I'll take it back. In store one time, I bought one from Nate Burns. He does like the Gold Rush thing or whatever.
Oh.
I've bought those before. They're fine.
Oh, I guess a repack like at Cracker Barrel. I bought like some stupid packs.
No. He's repack like a...
I know, like in a box. But I mean, technically you could count those as a repack.
But I'm saying like a repack, he's saying like where somebody put it together specifically with other cards in it.
I assume that's what
he
means.
You can't buy those at Cracker Barrel. Like you're not buying singles at Cracker Barrel.
That's what I mean. Like it was like from all different products. Yeah.
But they're like packs in there, right?
Yeah, it's like a cellophane, a clear thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you can see through it all.
Almost never. I don't trust most people to do it correctly, so I don't buy them.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, Bradley. Bradley Aaron Muse is just trying to get your password again. He wanted to know about your mother's
password
maiden name.
Password is password. How many times can I tell you, Pat?
What was your first pet's name, by the way? I'm just curious.
So this is a funny story. No, I can't say it because you'll know.
Your password has nothing to do with it.
Well, it's a security question all the time. I will tell you what his name is because I misremembered for years until it was just brought to my attention, as a matter of fact.
You didn't know your dog's name, bro?
We only had him for like a month because everybody in the family was like allergic, so we got rid of him.
Aww.
His name was Buddy.
Okay.
I thought it was something else, and that's what I used for my security question.
What did you think it? Oh, dang it. Now I really want to know.
Nope.
Did you think it was Butty, like two T's, B-U-T-T-Y?
It was not any iteration of Buddy. Nope.
Really? That was that far off?
And it took my mom and dad being in the state of Tennessee to be like, I don't think that was the name.
I don't think you remember, bro.
That dog
interesting.
Is long dead. He might be alive. Maybe she's like 35 years old, just Buddy walking around.
That's not my name.
They were like, we sent him to a farm. I'm like, I don't know. Did you? I could see my dad just whacking the dog, burying him at the golf course. Thanks, Dad.
Grampy G was there. He was watching over the whole thing. J. Jamie Sanders, what kind
Shut
of market?
Shut your mouth about Salvatore Paulino Giuseppe. You understand me?
What kind of market do you anticipate for a player who is called up late in the year and will retain rookie status next season? He says like someone like
Junior Caminero.
Well, he says Noel V. Marte.
Yeah, for the Reds. Yeah, it'd be good to see a solid market next year with their rookie stuff. Ellie is in the same boat, quite frankly. Ellie will have all of his rookie stuff next year. Jason Dominguez will have his rookie stuff next year. Yeah, Junior Caminero will have all of his rookie stuff next year. I think it'll be a good market. Next year's class is actually shaping up to be and I'm forgetting one other really good player. I was talking about this last night. There's Ellie. There's Junior. There's Jason. I think there's one other guy I'm totally Evan Carter for the Rangers. Balling out the end of the year. Is it like next year's baseball class could end up being really, really good and comparable to 23? Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Brian Schill wanted to know if we had any plans to be on Netflix. Not as of yet.
Not as of ever.
You don't want to be on Netflix in some capacity?
I mean, if it happens, but I don't know why we ever would. So, no.
What if the doc gets sold to Netflix? Boom, bam. Yeah,
maybe.
Cole Benz, are you ever torn selling cards of PC players?
Always.
How do you decide when or if to let something like that go?
No rhyme or reason. You just do it or you don't. I'm sorry. And I've done it in the past and I've totally regretted it. And other times I've sold it. And now in this market, I'm like, oh, I can just go buy it back for cheaper. But almost always it's the opposite. I sell a card and it's a rare PC card. I either A, never see it again, or B, it's quadrupled in value and I just don't want to buy it again.
Has this happened to you? This has happened to me. I haven't broken nearly as much as you have, but I have a few times. And when I have... You're right. I've done it more than you. When I've broken something and I have like just a ton of cards around, even if some of those are my PC, like it'll just like something will come over. It's like, oh, we're just selling whatever. I just grab something and I later regret that I put that in there to sell. And that one of those was like that Taylor Swift auto. The
one Eddie bought you?
The one. Oh, I thought you bought me that.
No. You sold that, you weasel?
I didn't even think about it until later. Spineless. I thought I bought it. I was
Who's
just like
selling gifts.
Listen, I thought it was from you. I never would have sold it if I knew it was from Eddie.
Who'd you sell it to?
Actually, it was someone. Someone who's listening to the show right now. I don't remember who, but yeah.
Eddie, you heard it here first. No more deals for Jay. He's selling gifts over here. Regifting it and selling it.
I said, I regretted
spineless.
It.
Spineless.
And I thought it was
Why don't you send Eddie the money for that?
Fine. I don't know how much it was. But
yeah, it's $3. I'll say, yeah, please.
Don't even, you act like you're all high and mighty. Like you never sold a gift before. You don't even know half the gifts you have. And then you turn around and sell them.
Trash.
So
trash
many
move,
of my
bro.
Things you've sold.
Trash move.
Oh,
bro.
Don't even. Trey Reeves. Tomorrow is the NFL trade deadline. What teams do you think make a big move and which players market benefit from it or vice versa? I hope Titans don't get, now that Will Levis is doing something, I hope they don't get rid of,
Henry.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. I also don't know if anybody's going to take him. He has a big contract, which is not going to help. It's a good question. I don't know. The trade deadline in the NFL is almost always boring as well compared to every other sport. Like very little movement in the NFL. So
there's always a lot of hype around basketball, but yeah.
Yeah, basketball and baseball, you see moves. I actually don't think you'll see anything big. Very rare you do. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I nothing like jumping off the page at me. They're like, oh, this is a move. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Devontae Adams maybe, but he's a receiver. And again, quarterbacks are really the only guys that matter a whole lot in the hobby. But if you say like there's a big name running back or receiver that's going to change teams, that would be great. Devontae's the only guy I could think of that potentially could do that, but I would bet none.
Let's see. Cody James, any Detroit Lions you guys think would be a good pickup?
So tough to say because they're playing really well until they got blown out last week. But I don't know who you buy on that team. I'm tempted to say like Aiden Hutchinson because maybe he goes on like a crazy defensive run, mm-hmm. like a Miles Garrett, a Micah Parsons, a TJ Watt, and like gets attention. But again, if you're not a quarterback, it takes so much time and headline to actually get attention to move the hobby needle.
Yeah.
I don't really think so. I guess if you're going to buy one, you could try Jared Goff. Maybe he becomes like the story of like, hey, this guy's been in the league for 10 years and all of a sudden, or whatever, 8, 9 years. I think he was drafted in 16. Maybe, but meh.
Tonight is supposed to be a good game.
Who are
they playing?
But yeah, who's
tonight? They're playing the Raiders. Yeah, that was another. That I think one of the Raiders was Aiden O'Connell. I think I mentioned him as one of those third string. He's the third string. Actually, no, I apologize. Aiden was in. Jimmy's supposed to play tonight, so Jimmy's supposed to be back. It is interesting to see all the people that have like third string ready to go. There's a number of player or a number of teams that have them. Mailbag goes to, let's see, Jason Schieffer. Schieffer, any update on the documentary that was being filmed at the 2021 National? Funny enough. Only that we've been told that it is being sold. It actually has a buyer, and now we're just waiting to hear final. I guess they last we heard they were working on a trailer and poster and all that kind of stuff. But we've seen the poster. It looks cool. Mike and I are both on it, which is kind of exciting, unless they've updated that, brushed me out of it, which that's fine too.
I've asked about that.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. So anyways, yeah, we'll let you know when we hear more. Chris Haynes, what will have a bigger impact on Yadi Molina's cards, his eventual Hall of Fame induction in 4 years, or if he becomes the manager of the cards and leads them back to glory?
Hall of Fame. I don't think anybody cares if he's the manager.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you think it would be a big deal? I think it would, for Deion Sanders to go pro coaching. I think it would affect his value. I mean, obviously, it affected his value when he was doing well
in college. Maybe. He also wouldn't have anywhere near the impact he has in college. In college, he comes in as the coach. Like, people want to play for him. It's a huge deal. In the NFL, be like, cool, you're a rookie coach. Glad you were a great player. But it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to impress other pros. So, I don't know. If he came in and was, like, really successful, maybe. But I think it would take more than just the news of him moving up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Let's see. Christian Ricks, how big of an impact will Wembanyama not having autos and new Panini product have on 2023 Prism Select Optic Sealed Wax long term? Notice his Prism DP cards are also unlicensed. DP cards.
Draft pick.
Oh.
Unlicensed because it's international.
Oh, okay.
The Prism stuff, the actual Prism stuff, will have the light, will have the Spurs logo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it definitely hurts. You know, it's going to put a premium on all the other stuff then. Because you can't get his autos, but long term, I think it takes away a lot of that huge hit factor. So I do think it definitely hurts. And it's not just him. I mean, we're hearing like Scoot Henderson, maybe some other guys as well, which is tough.
Well, and we did talk about the fact that they are adding Tim Duncan autos might be one of those things that helps kind of, it won't completely balance it out, but it may help that pricing for those products. By the way, we didn't even talk about this. I saw this post and it just was brutal. Lillard, 6 points in 29 minutes. SGA, 7 points in 28 minutes of play. Scoot, 4 points in 27 minutes of play, all from yesterday's games.
Yeah. Lillard had like 40 the game before that and they had a big win. So,
yeah.
Long season. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure. By the way, I am looking still for a basketball guy. I'm just going to start asking. I don't know why I didn't think to do this. Let's just ask some Ringer guys, like some other Ringer guys. I reached out to Mark Feinstein to see if he has any basketball buddies, and he said ESPN analysts are a little funny. I guess ESPN's funny about having them on other pods besides ESPN pods, so that may not end up working. But he's still looking, but he also mentioned, like, well, have you checked in with them? And I was like, oh, duh. I guess I could just ask them.
Vernon would be the guy, but he always records his live radio show at the same time.
Fart. Brian Wilcox, this whole Panini Fanatics thing, only the hobbyists suffer. No football or basketball licensed product for a time. That sucks.
Well, all conjecture and speculation. That's not the case right now. So,
yeah, we still have licensed product.
Yeah, there
right
is
now.
No,
and
yeah.
At this rate, how long these trials or the lawsuits are going to go, they'll lose license to Fanatics just in general before the lawsuits actually
Think we see any actual eventuality of those things happening.
And NBA hasn't said anything.
Yeah, so. No point do I think we'll have unlicensed, no licensed NBA or licensed NFL product readily available. So I think it's just people speculating and being, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Well, I think it would. I think Fanatics would probably not want that to happen either, because if the hobby.
Lose a lot of momentum.
Exactly. You lose momentum, you lose buyers of their product. So, yeah, there you go. That is it. Here's what I did want to mention. This is a fun thing, and it's only available in Nashville that I know of. So the reason why I couldn't watch some of the games yesterday is because we went out with my brother and sister-in-law and did this thing called the Great Big Game Show. You've probably been to an escape room. Mike, we've been to several escape rooms.
I like escape rooms.
So the company that started escape rooms actually started here in Nashville. At Opry Mills Mall, which is like a huge mall in the Nashville area. They have
spent
this
my
new
wedding
thing
right there.
Oh, tell us more.
It was the atrium.
Were there?
It was a nice evening.
Songbirds. Was it beautiful?
You asked me if I'm a screen.
Anyway, so at the Opry Mills Mall, They've got a new game that they're going to be rolling out to the rest of the country called The Great Big Game Show. And I'm sure other people will do these spinoffs just like they did with these escape rooms. But it's basically where you and your team can bring other friends and they can be their own team. And you just kind of compete in different game show-esque challenges. And it's awesome. Like, it is so fun. I cannot overemphasize how much fun it was, especially because we won. We dominated. It was me, Sam, and Charlie versus like those two and their daughter. So I'm just gonna say you, me, the missuses, and maybe a couple other friends. We go down there. We do this because
I'm in.
I'm saying it's not only trivia. It's like physical challenges. It's timing challenges. There's one where it's like, all right, start from this buzzer. Count to 20 seconds. First person to get closest to 20 seconds when they hit the buzzer is the winner. Like little stuff like that.
What did it cost?
Oh, I want to say like $35 a person.
I'm in.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I would do that and I would do an escape room again. I like both those things.
I don't know why we're ending the show with that, but it just seemed like there wasn't very much nonsense in this episode and it just fit well there. So
I like it. I'd do it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Anyways, that's your show. We'll be back on Thursday. Same time, same great place. We love you. We miss you. Sports Cards Nonsense, powered by The Ringer. It's like if I look at you, I know I'm never going to get it. Don't. Sports Cards Nonsense, powered by Spotify, brought to you by The Ringer, powered by Spotify. It's like I can't say it in
just
one
say
take.
Goodbye and hit the button.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.